open early for all your sports discussion needs. Now back to Bishop and Laurinaitis.
Well, Bishop James Laurinaitis with you here on a Thursday edition of the program. BTN with their all-decade teams for basketball this week. These are fun. Love these lists. One of our favorites, Mike DeCourcy, great friend of the program, joining us now on the Bryan Heating and Cooling Systems fan guest hotline. Mike, I just wonder if there's a clerical error here. And the clerical error I'm curious about is one of our guys. Is Evan Turner counting in this decade?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting that you asked that question, because when I voted, I had a tough time putting Evan on my ballot because his time in the decade was so brief. I mean, really, you're talking about 2.5 months.
Right.
Maybe if they made the Final Four, it might have been three, but it didn't work out that way.
Right.
He was not. The team is a 15-player team. Yeah. But we as voters were asked to vote for 10 players.
Okay.
And as much as I loved him, he did not make my ballot.
Yeah, I think they messed that up. I think a season – we love him. I mean, his numbers retired, for crying out loud. He's one of our guys. But to me, if the season starts in 09, he would have been part of the previous decade. So his last season was 09-10. So then we had a big problem yesterday. So we're like, how is Jared Sullinger not a first-team all-decade player, a consensus two-time first-team All-American? How is he not an all-decade player on the first team? Well, this makes sense if you're going to count 09-10. So you thought this the way that we thought about this as well. What were as you look back on this decade?
Can I say, by the way, although I don't want to, I don't want to separate myself too much from the crowd, I did vote for Jared for first team. I think that his legacy.
We knew we liked you, Mike. We knew we liked you.
Yeah, I don't think that people remember well enough how amazing he was.
Yeah.
In that first year, I rewatched in March when we didn't have the tournament. One of the projects I did was to rewatch games that I really hadn't seen. And I didn't see a lot of the Kentucky game because we had a video assignment that I had to film outside the New Orleans Arena. I was down there for that regional, Kentucky winning. And so I didn't – not Kentucky winning, but I was down in New Orleans. I can't now remember who won, came. I think it was ended up being Butler that came out of that regional. So I was down there, and so we were running around town trying to get set up for this video thing. So I missed the whole game. So I rewatched the game. Mm-hmm. And even in a game where he wasn't great, he was great. Yeah. That team should have made the Final Four. The draw was not easy. To have both Carolina and Kentucky in their region. But then the next year they come back and they make it to the Final Four. Jared was an all-time great player. And he only played 2 years, but even the second year was one that a lot of colleges wouldn't get. A lot of colleges, that player would have left and wouldn't have delivered on a Final Four. So I'd love to see Jared get more credit for what he accomplished.
Mike, what did the rest of your first team look like, if you don't mind me asking, on your ballot? I had to do the same thing for football, and when you start going through the decade, you start going, oh my goodness, well, this person deserves it, and you're kind of amazed at the talent that's come through the conference. Did you have the same feeling when you were filling out your ballot for this?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, 10 players, I left off a dozen fantastic players, and my ballot did not coincide a lot with what the final was. Frank Kaminsky was an easy choice for me. Cassius Winston, make a Final Four, two-time All-American. Trey Burke, Player of the Year, play in the championship game. Those were easy choices. Then it became really hard. And I went with Jared, as I mentioned, and Jawan Johnson from Purdue. And it could easily have been a lot of different players that filled in there. You know, interestingly, Luca Garza was a National Player of the Year for Sporting News and had a fantastic year. And he, unfortunately for him, again, somewhat in the Evan Turner style, although it didn't affect Evan, Luca only had the one great year. And then next year, which I presume he'll play at Iowa, if he has another fantastic year, it'll go on next decades and he'll be sort of trapped in between.
Right. Yeah, that's the thing you run into there. You know what's when you look at this, Mike, how do you go, what's your approach? Do you go do you do the Comet approach of one brilliant? How do you weigh the Comet approach of one brilliant? Or and we'll use a Buckeye in this case, Aaron Kraft, who was a four-year starter, started on two incredible teams as a freshman and sophomore, and an Elite Eight team as a junior, was Defensive Player of the Year I don't know how many times, and you know that any coach that was starting a team would pick him, and he'd start. He finds a way to start on almost anything. How do you balance that?
Well, it's hard because a guy like Aaron, a fantastic player, I'm impressed that he made the third team because, as the balloting was conducted, enough people had to put him in their top 10 players in this league, which pretty amazing given the fact that he wasn't a huge scorer, wasn't an amazing shooter or anything like that, but was just an impactful player every day he played and played on great teams. That 2011 team I mentioned, 2012 Final Four, 2013, I believe they made the Elite Eight. I mean, he played on amazing teams. So an incredible player and one that, I really enjoyed getting a chance to cover him and get to know him a little bit, both at BTN and Sporting News. A real credit to Ohio State's basketball program and to the university.
Mike, is there anyone that was left off the three teams where you're like, how?
No, because everybody that's included was so good.
Yeah.
I voted for Lamar Stevens, and I feel bad for Lamar because, Lamar had an all Big Ten year. And one of the reasons I voted for Lamar is in his junior year, I voted him for first team all Big Ten, and he made first team all Big Ten for at least one of the teams. And I never, ever, 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 ever vote for a player on a losing team for that kind of award, because there's so many really good players on really good teams that how do you leave them off in favor of a player whose team didn't have a winning record. But I mean, that was a team that ended up, I believe, 7-13 or 7-11. I'm trying to remember now, but they at one point were 1-11 and he completely turned them around. And then this year has another great year and has them on the verge of going back to the NCAA tournament. There's no NCAA tournament. So I don't think Lamar made the 15-player team, and I would like to have seen him on there because I think, like I said, missing that chance to be in the NCAA tournament after all the work he put in and everything he did for Penn State basketball, would have been nice to see him get an honor like this.
Mike DeCourcy, the Sporting News, Big Ten Network, joining us now on the Bryant Heating Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. And, Mike, I'll get you out of here on this one, and we'll just go to the college sports in general. You always have your ear to the ground a little bit. What are you hearing on football, and what are the latest things in terms of the Big Ten and the Big Power Conference commissioners in terms of what could possibly happen here? We're end of June. What's going to happen in a month?
Yeah, I think the first thing that people have to understand, and I respect my friend John Wilner from the San Jose paper, who did a story last week in which he wrote, people are freaking out over the positive coronavirus tests that some athletes are reporting upon their return to campus. And he pointed out, look, first of all, these tests wouldn't be positive if they were still at home because they wouldn't be tested.
Correct.
And it's better that they are and quarantined so they don't infect anybody, and they get it straightened out, and then they go back to doing what they do. And the second thing he pointed out, and perhaps the most important thing, is being on campus and training there is the safest place for these athletes to train. You guys know that these are aspiring athletes, aspiring professionals. The choice isn't between being on campus and training and being at home on the couch. I mean, that's not how you do it if you're an athlete. If you're an athlete, you have to train. You need to stay in shape. And so you'd be where? At your local gym where, yeah, they probably do a really good job of cleaning up and doing the best they can to stay on top of keeping the equipment clean. But you don't know whether the people that are working out have been tested or had the virus or any of that. They're just other people. But at Ohio State's football facility, Gene Smith talked about this with us 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago now.
Yeah,
they
right.
put 10, 12 players in, whatever the number is, They work out, they leave, they spend an hour or so cleaning it up, they send another 10 in, and that's how they do it all day. It's the safest place for them to get ready for the season. And I firmly believe there will be a season unless, you know, something happens even beyond what surge we're seeing now. I'd love it if people would start being smart about this. You know, distancing, masking, those things are very easy to do. I've been very disappointed to see how many people have defied that just to be defiant.
Right. Well put. Well put. Mike, always good talking to you, my friend. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, guys.